Certainly a beautiful thing to see the family of God working together. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when the family of God and the people of God, we truly, truly come into that oneness together, that oneness in Christ. It's going to be heaven on earth, I'll tell you. Heaven on earth. And you know, I read in the Bible that God is going to sing. That's right. He said He's going to sing. Hallelujah, because He's going to see the travail of His soul. And He's going to be satisfied with the price that He paid that was so high and so costly. Praise God that we have an opportunity, friends, to be among that number that will be transformed by His grace divine. That He can take all the failures, all the mistakes, all of the things that we have done that have been detrimental to the body of Christ and to His name and to the call of God. That He'll take all of the things that have been crooked. He said, I'll make them straight. What is wrong, I'll make it right. Praise His mighty name that this is the undertaking of God and only He can do it. The earth is yet going to see the precious fruit that God has waited so long for. That precious fruit when the fruit of the earth, the first fruit of the earth, that which God has waited for with great, great anticipation, I believe, for the people of God to finally believe and receive and take hold of His fullness in Christ. Finally let go and let God have His way. Finally turn it over to God. And then the glory will be brought forth. You know, we've struggled at trying to bring forth the fruit and the glory. It hasn't worked, has it? But it's going to work because God is going to... He is the finisher of what He starts. Hallelujah. All the things that seem so impossible and so just like it can never be done, God is going to do it. I think of the greater works that Jesus said, ye shall do, that the world has not yet seen. There won't be any man that will do that. There will be no individual who does that. It's going to be a man-child. It's going to be a man-child. Hallelujah. That God is going to come forth through that man-child and do the works that the world has never seen. He's going to do things that only God can do. And He's going to do it through that man-child that comes into that full rest in Christ Jesus, and it will not be I, but it will be Christ working in and through that man-child. Christ doing it all. Hallelujah. And I thank God that, you know, that He's causing us more and more to realize that without Him, we can do nothing. We can absolutely do nothing but mess up. We're good at that. We've proved that. But thank God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The story doesn't stop there. Praise God, because we're serving the living God. God has undertaken, well, He's undertaken a God-sized job. Now let's let Him do it. Let's let Him do it. Cooperate with Him. When it really comes down to it, all He wants and all He can use is our yieldedness and our surrender. That's the thing that He's waited for. Men try to build great structures, great Babylons, as it were. I'm going to do this for God and that other thing, as though, you know, God really needed that. And all the while, God is looking for individuals who will let go, who will turn it over to God, who will surrender to Him, and let Him be God. Let Him work. Let Him bring forth these things that are divine, the divine family, the gold, the things of the highly wonderful things of the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. This past week, I got out some of my old notes from Brother Miller. And I came up to that last Sabbath of January 16th, 1971. He didn't know that was his last Sabbath, and we surely didn't know that that was the last time that as a shepherd of his flock he was going to stand before his flock. Because that next Friday he died, that 22nd of January he died. But that message that he gave on January the 16th, 1971, if he had known that that was his last message, there are very few things that he would have changed from what he gave on that Sabbath, because it was almost prophetic. As he went to the board and drew the timeline and began to put the various things on there that we could look for that from the Scripture that God was going to do, the wonderful things and the mighty things and even the terrible things that were going to come to pass in the earth, and encouraged our preparation for those things, to be prepared for the mighty move of God that was going to come forth in the earth. It was 39 years ago on that Sabbath day that he stood before us and spoke needful words, needful admonition and instruction to his congregation. Here we are 39 years later, still haven't seen many of those things, or any of those things really, in their fullness come forth. But I was thinking also, because reading some of his notes and messages, it put me in a reflective mood, and it caused me to think back even farther back than 1971, back into the 30s, when God called this people together originally and set a course, as it were, called this people to certain things, set certain things in order, and here we are 76 or some odd years later, whenever, I'm not sure when was the work officially considered starting? 33? So that would be 76, almost 77 years now that we've been at it. But as I was thinking about some of those things both that Brother Miller gave and some of the things that Spirit of the Lord gave this people, I want to read some things to you that were given to us 70 some odd years ago that have yet to be brought into fruition, things that we've looked for. I think many of the people that have passed from us had expected to see many of these things. But after all, it's all in God's timing. And the main thing is that you know that we are pressing on in our walk with God. I think of the move of God that's going on among us at this time, stirring in the hearts. God is working to bring His people into unity and harmony with Himself and with His will and with one another, so that He can come forth and He can do the mighty things, the things that the world has not yet seen that God has declared that He would do in the earth. And so we're called to a portion of that, friends. This work is called to have a portion in the things that God is going to do, In a most glorious and a divine and a spiritual way. And in view of that, I want to read a few things here. It said, "Thou shalt give forth the message, it must go. The book of Acts is the heart of the New Testament. It is a knowledge and a revelation of the work of the Holy Ghost, showing forth the very power, authority, and leading as it is in the kingdom of Christ, which must be restored to people of the living God. So stand fast and teach these things as God hath given thee knowledge. And this message is to continue, and the Lord will give you power if you continue to hold fast for that power which is for the subjects of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in this day. These things that must be restored to the church of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts, the heart of the New Testament. This is how God really started out. It was not the climax by any means. It did not bring in the fullness of the work of God, but it was. They started out wonderfully as they were led of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God moved among them. Miracles were the norm of the congregation. God worked in a supernatural way. We know time after time, think of Peter in prison there, and the angel of the Lord delivering him. Philip immediately caught from one place to another by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul and Barnabas thinking they should go into a certain area, and the Spirit of the Lord forbid them not. So they thought, well, we'll go over to Asia. And the Spirit of the Lord said no. Why? Didn't the people in Asia need it? God was in control. They would go to Asia in God's time, but not according to man's time schedule or understanding. Finally, Paul had a dream or a vision, and a man in Macedonia said, come over here and help us. Friends, that's the way the Church of Jesus Christ should be operating right now. There should have been no lapse in that. There should have been growth in it. What started out should have matured into a fullness, but it didn't. We know the lapse that came and the decline. But God is going to restore the divine order of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be restored. And the kingdom is not just words, it's in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, of the reality of the divine truths and the divine realities of God. So these things are on schedule. Here's another excerpt. When the meetings of the Lord thy God come forth in revival form, fear not what ye shall do, for it is not you, but the Holy Ghost, that the Lord thy God sendeth forth from heaven. He shall do the work. Let the Lord take hold of thee, and completely cover thee, empty thee, and fill thee. Listen to this. For this shall be the need for every child of God in this day. This is what God is looking for. This is what God is going to have. He's going to have a people that truly let God take hold of them, cover them with the blood and His mighty power and His mighty fullness, empty them and fill them, and then He's going to use them. And it will be not I, but it will be Christ. Hallelujah! That should be operating even today. These things should be operating in the body of Jesus Christ. But they're coming. And as the Spirit of God is moving among us, let us be encouraged to see that God is calling us to a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's not calling us to religion. He's calling us to serve the living God in spirit and in truth. The only way He can be worshipped and served truly is in spirit and in truth. Praise His mighty name. Another excerpt. It says, claim all the power of the cross of Christ, for it is a sign between thee and God of your right to the marvelous things of heavenly power that belong to you. That's tremendous. Claim all the power of the cross of Christ. For it's a sign between you and God of what belongs to you. The marvelous power of God. The marvelous kingdom of God. Praise His mighty name. And then another excerpt, it says, seek the Lord that we may exist according to spiritual law and not according to natural law. Brother Randall was speaking about things getting bad in Washington. If you'll allow me the vernacular, you haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen anything yet. I mean, as society collapses, I think of You know, they're going to make us buy insurance, health insurance, whether we want it or not, or whether we can afford it or not. And that's just a start. I don't think it would be take a very great calamity in this country, whether from a terrorist attack or another natural catastrophe on mega dimensions, that martial law and stepping in and taking away most of the freedoms we know would follow. I think that things are set in order. If you keep up at all with the things that are happening behind the scenes, even in Washington, they're setting people in order. They're setting people that are not voted in, but they're appointed in, and they don't answer to anyone. And these, many of them are Marxist revolutionaries, haters of democracy, haters of capitalism, and their avowed aim and purpose is to destroy it. And given an opportunity, such as a calamity, the machinery is set in order to take away the freedoms that we enjoy today. I think even of our school over here, where children have an opportunity to be out of that abominable system, public education. You know, these people in Washington now with their radical ideas, they are those who oppose them, those who have conservative viewpoints of things, are being painted in such a way that it's almost like, well, these people don't have any sense at all. They don't even know how to think. We up here in Washington, we know what you need. You don't know how to run your life. You don't know how to make decisions. And I wouldn't be surprised that as things escalate and things really begin to get serious, that they'll close down schools such as this, because they want to mold the minds of the young people. They're already doing it. They're already doing it. But in a degree that's going to increase more and more, because they want to change the whole way young people think. Now they know us old people, we're hopeless. They're not going to change us. They've got some camps to put us in. Or re-education programs like they did in China and Russia to those who oppose the views. But they want to take the young people and prepare them for the new order. And parents will lose absolute control over the destiny and the training of their children. So things are changing rapidly. Things are changing. I think these things were given those many years ago. Seek the Lord that we may exist according to spiritual law and not according to natural law is going to have to come into being. The body of Christ that is going to survive, the people of God that are going to survive, are going to have to learn to exist by spiritual law. Absolutely have to. And it's God's will. It has been His will right now today that we live by spiritual law. He has put in order for His church and for His people everything that is needed to worship Him in spirit and in truth and to see the kingdom of God manifest. Trouble is, we've been satisfied with so much less. We're like Ezekiel's vision of the river. We've got our feet wet and thinking, isn't it wonderful? We got our feet wet, and it's really wonderful. Well, it is. But friends, there's a river out there you have to swim. It can't be crossed over in the fullness of God's blessing. And that's what He's called us to. And so these things must come into operation in the Church of Jesus Christ. The The coming into to existing by spiritual law and spiritual reality. Because that's the only, those are the only people that are going to make it. When, as the scripture indicates, there comes a time when you can neither buy nor sell, except you take a certain mark, and so forth, whether it will be determined your destiny and your, you know, your livelihood and everything else for you and your family, whether you will submit to this ultimate control that is coming. And if we're not learning, if we haven't learned to walk by the laws of the Spirit, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All of these things will be added. What are we waiting for? I mean, for instance, if suddenly tomorrow this scenario we're talking about came upon us, and we were forced to either take a mark, so forth, and submit to this whole thing, or we couldn't buy or sell, how are we going to make it tomorrow? What are we going to do tomorrow? I mean, in our present state. In other words, where we're at today is not good enough for tomorrow. It's not. It will not endure, and we will not go through in our present state. We have to become a spiritual people. Us people who are totally in sync with God and His will. Who truly have sought first the kingdom of God. Have come into this divine relationship with Christ. Where this rest of Christ that this Sabbath day pictures. Where we cease from man. We cease from the dependency on man. We depend completely upon God. And that's the only way that these mighty things that we have expected and we look for and the Scripture has taught or will ever come about is by a spiritual people. Us people who walk in the Spirit, who live according to the laws of the Spirit, who function under the order of God and allow the Spirit of God to have absolute control in their lives. I thank God we've still got some time, friends. If it happened tomorrow, we're done. I mean, it's over with. We'd have to give our lives or submit to the mark. But thank God there's still some time left. And I think time is much shorter than it used to be. I don't think, you know, we're talking about those 70-some-odd years when this was given years ago. I don't know if we've got 75 more years. I know some of us, you know, longevity-wise haven't got it. Calling any names, but you got an idea. There has to be this awakening and taking hold of the mighty things of the Spirit of God. Now, Richard has been in these classes. About every time we get together, he quotes Jeremiah 6:16. Do you want to quote it for us again, brother? That's right. Ask for the old paths. Friend, we've got to return to the old paths. You know, religion today has adopted all of the modern ways. The music, you got to be able to jig to it. The message has got to be, you know, entertaining. The whole thing has adopted the modern way of doing things. But it's a total failure. We've got to return to the old paths. The paths of righteousness. That is the paths that have been laid down by the Spirit of God in His Word. His law, His command, His will. The leading of the Spirit of God. Walking according to the laws of the Spirit. These will endure. While everything else crumbles, there will be those who take hold of the arm of God. There will be those who return to the old paths and take hold of the arm of God and believe God because God is going to work in a supernatural way. I think of Revelation 12:10 says, "Now has come salvation." That was penned centuries ago, millenniums ago. Now has come salvation. What kind of a salvation? A full salvation. Not only a deliverance from sin, it starts out with that, yes, but it addresses every need of mankind. Not only the sin problem, but he said, I think in Matthew 8:17, it said, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Not only on that tree did He bear our sins, but He bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. We've got a dear sister in the hospital in serious condition. And she needs the undertaking power of the Holy Spirit of God to bring her through that. And we're the Church of Jesus Christ. And we should take hold of the power that He's given us. Because it's already come. Now it's come. This salvation that's full and sufficient. This salvation that meets every need of spirit, soul, and body has come. And we've got this dear sister, but we have other members who need the touch of the living God in their bodies, as well as their spirit. And the Scripture says in Joel, when it's prophesied about what God's going to do in His people, He said, There will be deliverance in Mount Zion and in the remnant whom God calls. Well, for that remnant, part of that remnant whom God has called, there should be deliverance here for the people of God. There should be healing for our sister and for the people of God. Whatever the need. That's come. We've got to arise and take hold of that. Next thing it says, strength. The word is dunamis, power. Dunamis, power. Power has come. Not only power, He's given us the authority to exercise that power. Jesus said that He came unto His own received Him not, but to them that received Him gave He the authority to be the sons of God, or to become the sons of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have power through Jesus Christ over the flesh, the world, the devil, over the things that are not of God. We have power to put these enemies down because He's already defeated them. We need to rise up in holy anger at some of these things that we allow to go on. We should be totally upset, or whatever the proper word is, for our sister. We should be totally, that we're not going to stand for another child of God to be taken out by the curse, because sickness is the power of the curse working among the people of God. Sickness is part of the curse of darkness. It's one thing for a child of God to die from natural forces, natural aging and so forth, but it's an abomination for a child of God to go out under the work of the curse of sickness. We should be aroused and take hold of the power that God has given us. The kingdom of God has come. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." Luke 8:1 said, "He went throughout the cities and the villages, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." He showed it. And what did He tell us to do? He told this to the disciples, but he said whatever He told them was good for us too, didn't He? Whatever I told them, you do the same. He said, Matthew 10:7-8, "As you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But it doesn't stop there, does it? It says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give." God wants His kingdom manifest. He wants it shown. He wants it demonstrated to meet the needs of people, the needs of those that the word goes forth. It should go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God to meet the issues and to meet the needs of whatever they might be. The authority of Christ has come. The next thing. Power of Christ, or the authority of Christ, has come. Now we'll all acknowledge that, I think. I don't think anybody would quibble with that fact, but that has an effect on you and I. Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's see. I'm going to start reading at verse 17. Ephesians 1. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Here's that authority. For above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. That's the authority of Christ. But did you get what it said before? What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to this, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. This authority of Christ, this inheritance that He received, He's given to us as joint heirs. This authority vested in Him, He has vested in His church. The power that raised Him from the dead, this authority over principalities and powers and all of these other things, is vested, given you authority to become the sons of God. He's given unto us. It's about time we are stirred to take hold of what God has given us. He seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that we're to reign with Him. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father in the midst of His enemies, the Scripture says. And we're seated there with Him with the same power that He has. It's His power working in and through His church and through His people to bring all of these enemies totally under subjection to Him. I said He's waiting at the right hand of the Father, expecting. He's expecting us to do what He gave, what He's given us the power and the authority to do. That is to rise up and take this glorious inheritance, the kingdom of God, to become those who truly live by spiritual law, live by the things of the Spirit of God, take hold of the inheritance that He's given us, and exercise that authority now. We're not going to go out tomorrow or the next day in this mighty power and authority, either over the devil or over these enemies or over the external enemies, you might say. We're going to begin to exercise that authority right here. Because who was it in class said today that the big enemy wasn't out there? That was David, wasn't it? David, yes. He said he didn't think the devil was a big problem. He thought this guy was. And he's right. This is the one we trussle with. And the devil comes, when he comes in, he just, you know, he gives him a little inspiration. That's when it really gets ugly. But we deal with this fella, this devil. Jesus has already taken care of him and given us authority over him. And the reason we don't see the authority and the power exercised on these external enemies is because we haven't taken it on this internal old man, which is an enemy of God, always an eternal enemy of God. And so we have the authority to exercise power over these enemies that Jesus defeated at the cross. He defeated all enemies. And he defeated this enemy, the old man. It's like the last message I gave about these enemies that Israel had to overcome. Israel was going against defeated enemies because the Lord said, I'm going to go before you and destroy them. Christ has already gone before us and has destroyed or made powerless the enemy, even of the flesh. He had to do that because we could never do it. But if we'll take hold of what He has done and exercise the authority and the power that He has given us, we'll begin to see the glorious things that 70 years have been the hope and the expectation of this people. I pray that we'll be encouraged to really see that God has called us to a supernatural walk with Him. You see, God operates in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the supernatural. That's just the normal realm of God. He's raised us up into that realm in Christ Jesus to reign with Him, to put the enemies down, to see His kingdom come, and to see the fulfilling of all of the Word of God that must yet be fulfilled, because He's not coming until every word is fulfilled in this Scripture. And we have a part to play. The people of God have a part to play to see that those words are fulfilled. Because God, when Jesus created the physical universe, He just spoke and it was done. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But now, He has spoken the word relative to our salvation and our deliverance and our inheritance. But that will not come into being until you and I believe it and step out on it. Then the reality of it will come forth. So we're fellow laborers with God in His greatest work. And the greatest thing that God can do is take creatures like you and I that are so unlike Him. And by surrendering and yielding to Him and believing what He said and taking that as our reality and stepping out on it, then we'll see that divine reality. We'll see the power of the Spirit of God come forth to do what only He can do. But that we must do. God will not do it for us. We must believe and we must step out and we must exercise our confidence and our trust and our faith in God that what He has said is true. No matter how impossible or contradictory it seems. It was a contradiction for Abraham to say for 25 years, "I'm the father of many nations." But he didn't hesitate to say it. When we begin to say we're the sons of God, and God has set us free, and having the Son has set free is free indeed. And we begin to exercise ourselves in that reality that God says is so, and we step out in faith, the Spirit of the Lord will meet us, and we'll begin to see divine reality and divine power, the things we've looked for and hoped for, and that God is waiting for, will begin to be exercised in and through His people. I just pray that we'll surrender and yield to the moving of the Spirit of God among us. Be encouraged, friends. God is working. Just let Him have His way. That's all He wants. His way is the best way. His way is the only way. His way produces results. Our way is a failure. Thank God for His mercy, for His grace. I thank God that He's a God of long suffering. Hallelujah. Scripture said, "Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." Hallelujah. Praise God. That's my hope. He's a God that forgives. You know, God is looking for those that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. We all make mistakes. We all come short. But you know, God is looking at the heart. God is looking at our intention. And like Brother Miller used to say, if you fall, just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. Because we're serving the God of redemption. We're serving the God of mercy. We're serving the God that picks up the weak and the needy. Chosen that which is nothing like Himself to bring into being that which is like Himself. Praise His holy name. That work is going on, friends. We're in the midst of it. God is working by His Spirit. Let Him have His way. Surrender and yield. Anything else is insanity. Really. It's insanity. Not to surrender and yield to the Most High God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things. He's given us the opportunity. And all He wants is us to surrender and yield and do it His way. And then the results will be what our soul longs for. And what God longs for. And when it comes about, we're going to see God singing over His flock. I wish I ever knew where that was. I'd like to read it to you. That God is going to sing. You know, Jerry's voice is beautiful. But I want to hear God sing. Praise His name. As He rejoices over His handiwork. Over what He's done. Over what no other could do. He brings forth sons and daughters, made in His image, transformed by grace divine into His image. Let's cooperate. Let's just surrender to Him. Let Him have His way. Let this thing be hastened and quickened. Let's not drag it on and on. But let us work with the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to bring forth that which only He can do. Praise His holy name. Zephaniah 3:17. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Wonderful. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Praise God. Hallelujah! This is the destiny of the work of God. Hallelujah! As He sees the fruit of His labors, God is going to sing. Hallelujah! Praise His holy name. Hallelujah! Praise You, Jesus. Praise His name.